Yes, indeed. From Geiger Wealth Management, Bill Geiger has more than 30 years of financial planning.
Very nice music.
I like that, too.
More than 30 years of financial planning experience, and he joins us every week. Good to have you here, Bill. I hope you enjoyed the theme song.
Nice to be back again. Very topical.
You have made a career of looking at people's portfolios. This is what you do day in and day out. What's the problem that you see more often than not when you do that?
Well, most of the folks who are working with are in their 50s and 60s. Preparing for retirement. And the issue that I see most often, Bob, is people feel like they've got a well-diversified portfolio, but they have a lot of risk, a lot of risk they don't realize they have.
What's an example of risk that people don't realize they have?
Well, there's this conventional wisdom that if you own enough different mutual funds, if one of them goes down, the other ones are going to go up, and it kind of smooths the ride. We look at people's portfolios during what happened to them in 2008, and you'll see a portfolio that everything went down 40 to 60%. That's a lot. That's risk.
So how do you avoid having risk?
Well, you do a different type of diversification. You want to make sure that you understand what your risk is in the first place. And, you know, if you're getting close to retirement, here's the big issue, guys. If you lose 50% of your money, 3 or 4 years from retirement, your retirement is cooked. It really is.
Because you don't have the ability, unless you are lucky, to build it back up, right?
Then you're working on hope. You're working on hoping that the market comes back. And even so, you're behind from where you wanted to be.
A lot of people were concerned when the market dropped the way it did last week.
It's down today.
Yeah. What do you tell people when you have these 200 or 300 point dips?
If you have a plan in place, you can live through those. But most people don't really have a plan in place, Bob, Marianne. They basically put together a portfolio, somebody put it together for them, and they just kind of hope everything goes well. I sat down with a guy a couple months ago. I said, what's your retirement plan? And he's pointing at his portfolio. He says, well, I hope this sucker grows.
Good luck.
That was his plan.
So what do you say to somebody who says that?
Well, you have to think about the number one most important thing in retirement. That's income. Where's your income going to come from? When you stop working, you have to have a way to pay the bills. And where are you going to get that income from? And everybody's focused on growth. You really need to focus on income, too.
I guess this is a question you probably can't answer except individually, but folks wonder about when to start taking their Social Security. Is there a general rule on that?
Well, there's 62, 66, and 70 are the three main areas that people look at.
Say that again, 62?
62, 66, and 70. You know, there's an MBA answer, and there's a real-life answer.
Okay, tell us both.
The MBA answer is you do the discounted cash flow of the income coming in and blah, 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 blah. And the real answer is if you don't need it, wait a little while and it'll be bigger.
Does it matter if you wait until the end, 70? Does it matter if you don't need it at 70 to take it at 75? I mean,
it at 70 because you're not going to earn any more at that point.
So 70 is the most that you can.
Generally, 66 to 70, somewhere in there.
And then you begin getting these regular checks.
Yeah, but the problem is, it's not enough. I don't know anybody that can live on their Social Security.
Right.
And keep their lifestyle in retirement.
Because if you're lucky, you have a pension, too, to figure into this retirement equation.
And if you're really lucky, you'll keep that pension.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay, so what if you have, let's say you have money, whether it's in a pension or a 401k or some kind of IRA, at what point are you forced to start taking some of that money out?
At 70 and a half.
You have to.
At 70 and a half, you have to start taking what's called required minimum distributions.
Even if you're at a higher, if you're still working and you're at a higher tax bracket,
you still have to start taking it out, whether you want to or not. The IRS has let you put money in before taxes, they left you defer taxes, and they're ready for their pound of flesh, and that's at 70 and a half.
And that's because they're pound of flesh, meaning the interest that they're going to make.
Well, when you have to take some money out, you have to pay tax on it.
Yeah, the taxes that they're going to make.
Last week we were talking about how some of the old rules are not in place anymore. The standard bits of advice we used to hear for a long time. Well, what about the percentage of stocks and the percentage of bonds? We always heard kind of a 50-50 split, depending on how old you are. What's advice now?
That's one of the pieces of conventional wisdom, Bob, that really, really doesn't work anymore. Traditionally, as we got closer to retirement, we would put more and more into bonds because it was more conservative. But with where bonds are at right now, as interest rates start to come back up, bond values are going to drop. Bonds are every bit as risky as stocks are right now. So you're kind of fooling yourself by rebalancing to bonds. And nobody's talking about that. It's strange.
And so what do you say to people that want to not just invest their portfolio, their retirement money in whatever it is that you believe is the diversified enough plan, but they also want to put other things in it that are not traditional investments as part of their retirement plan, like real estate maybe, or investing,
gold or something like that.
Yeah, or investing in a restaurant or investing in other things that are not the traditional stocks.
You know, it comes back to this question of income. When you retire, if your lifestyle costs $100,000 a year and you and your spouse's Social Security's add up to 50, you need $50,000 worth of income from someplace. Mm-hmm. Once you address that issue, you can invest in other things, but that is a critical thing to you need to do that first.
Okay, so say that again.
You've got an income gap when you retire.
Right.
The difference between what it takes to keep your lifestyle the way you want it versus the Social Security coming in. There's a gap there. Mm-hmm. The most important thing in retirement planning is ahead of time to plan how are you going to fill that gap? How are you going to get that income to stack on top of your Social Security so you can keep your lifestyle?
Well, nothing can start until you figure out how much you're spending. And I don't want to know that.
I ask people that all the time. What's your lifestyle cost? They look at each other and say, I don't know.
And so where do you start when you have that question? I don't want to know.
I know. what you have
to, Bob wants to know
Bob,
less.
You want to know?
I think everybody should have
a lot of money.
An expert like Bill from Geiger Wealth Management. And that brings me to my next question. When is it worth it to have somebody like you watching over the funds? Is there a certain amount of money that really you tell people, well, if you've got this amassed, then it makes sense for you to spend a little bit to have professionals who know what they're doing manage it. But if you don't have X amount of dollars, I'm telling you as a friend, even though I'd love to have you as a customer, no, you're not ready for this.
Bob, we generally find we can add the most value for folks that have portfolios of 500,000 and up.
So that's the magic number.
That's kind of the magic number.
So people
have
500,000 or up, which really isn't unheard of.
It's not a lot of money these days.
Because people are living
sadly, it's not.
It's not a lot of money these days.
Yeah.
People have got $300,000-$400,000 in their 401ks.
Right.
But and what's really sad is trying to figure out how to create the income on $500,000. It doesn't go as far as it used to.
Right. And so the other thing that might be helpful is if you have money in a lot of different pots, consolidate, right?
Consolidate, but also make it part of a plan. What is this money supposed to do for you? And it's not just, I hope it grows. But what is it going to do for you?
Yeah. All right. Let me just end this with one question I have for you, Bill. Now that we've sort of said the old rules about diversifying, forget about those stocks and bonds, the old formulas, you can't go by those anymore. Let me ask you about the two things my dad always told me. Are they true anymore? He said, number one, buy real estate because, you're always going to have a shortage of that and it's always going to be in demand. And well, let's take that one, and then I'll tell you the other one was the stock market. It's like Las Vegas. That's what he said about that.
Well, real estate always goes up, right?
That's what he said.
Except for 2006 and 7 and 8 when it lost a lot of money.
Yeah, long run, though, if you have time, it's good.
But if you're in your 50s and 60s.
John Maynard Keynes said, in the long run, we're all dead.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. I feel better already. And the stock market, his point was you're always gambling.
Well, if If you divide your portfolio into two pieces, part of it is for income, and that takes care of your gap that you need. You can let the other part of your portfolio bounce up and down over time. That's okay, because you don't need it to live on today. So you can have part of your portfolio in the market. You can let it go through its thing, and that's okay. You manage it for risk, but it's there for growth over a long period to keep you up with inflation.
All right, I'm going to think of everything you said today except the long run.
In the long run.
Yeah, it's Bill Geiger.
Long run.
Geiger Wealth Management. Thanks, Bill. Talk
Thank
to you,
Bill.
Next week.
Thank you.